Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning, a late June Saturday morning, as we are in that lull between Triple Crown and Saratoga, but there's still great racing from the various venues around the country. And one of those today will be Thistledown, the Ohio Derby. And it's a fun field of three-year-olds in the Ohio Derby. So I thought we'd talk a little Ohio Derby today and more. And I looked over on Equibase, and sure enough, race of the week was the Ohio Derby. So who better to reach out to than our friend Ellis Starr. Ellis, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning, racing fans. Yeah, it is an interesting part of the beginning of summer. Summer weather everywhere. The tracks still have turf. I don't think anybody's coming off the turf today. It looks like it's going to be just wonderful all over the country.
Yeah, it you know, the mid part of the country has had some hot weather. We've been cool up here in upstate New York for the last week and a half, but it's starting to, it's going to be a little steamy this weekend, so we're getting into summertime temps. I'll ask you, because we kind of went off track a little bit on the handicapping show just prior. My partner and I, Anthony Marmino, as old fogies in the game, we were kind of reminiscing, and he is on his way to London, and you and I were talking before we got on the air, and you were on vacation last week as well, and he said, you know, the nice part about going out on vacation now as a horse racing fan, you can completely stay plugged in as compared to the days when we first got in the game, where much less on vacation, it was hard to stay plugged in if you were at home. But I'm just curious, if you go on vacation, are you still kind of plugged in and watching the game, or do you totally unplug?
I try and unplug, but certainly, you know, since I still am trying to do my blogs for Woodbine and other racetracks and stuff like that, I do try and watch those races and bet a couple bucks on if I'm going to make the picks. But the great thing is, you're right, you can pretty much, you don't even need wireless connection nowadays to watch on any of the ADW sites you want to watch a race. Just put it on at the right time and watch it, make a bet, and still enjoy it. So stay in and do it, and then you can always read the Pollock Report and the various other websites and see what's going on too. So it just depends on what you want to do, but certainly on Saturdays with the big racing, and you start to look forward to like the horses that are going to be running at Saratoga in a few weeks, so you want to keep track of them and just follow them. And you certainly watch the replays pretty easily, but yeah, it's good. It's pretty good to do it once in a while.
Yeah, we were certainly laughing that people have gotten in the game the past few years don't have any idea, you know, finding a racing form was tough and seeing replays. We talked about there used to be the replay center up at Saratoga where you walked up to a booth, there'd be a kid there, and you had to tell him the replay, and he had to walk back and stick the VHS tape in for you to watch a replay. It's a new world.
I used to have to call a phone number in Southern California and listen to the recreation or the replay on for Santa Anita races. That's what we had to call. You had to call a number, you know, pay 99 cents a minute to listen to somebody.
I forgot about that. I did that too.
Yeah, that's how old I am. Apparently.
I completely forgot about the 900.
That's when you knew you really were a racing fan. You paid 99 cents a minute to listen to somebody do a recreation of a race.
I totally remember that, but I had completely forgotten until you said it. Yeah, you had that phone number to call to hear the But it's a new world, and so we will dive in because there is plenty of information available for folks to use for today's races. And as I say, we're going to look at the Ohio Derby. We're going to look at a race a little earlier on the card at Thistledown, but also a nice stake over at Churchill today, a nice stake at Monmouth, all of that on the agenda. And let's start with the Ohio Derby. As I said, I think this is a nice, fun field. As I listen, I think I'm tilting towards White Abario, because we were down there for the Florida Derby covering that. That Florida Derby was just a really nice race. I'm going to look for a rebound for the Kentucky Derby. But as I read, you know, Twitter and whatnot, a lot of people turning towards Tawnyport. And while we talk here, I'm going to pull up the Lexington back on April 16th. The Brad Cox trainee, Tawnyport, will be number 9 here, getting it done on that April 16th date. Ethereal Road is interesting to me, coming out of the win in the Sir Barton. Barisi, the one horse of people are looking for an alternative. The New York bread, I thought, was kind of intriguing. I will note that it has been reported that Brigadier General is likely to scratch and go to the Indiana Derby. But as I say, probably most people, as I've looked at social media the past few days, Waito Barrio and Tawny Port are the horses that are taking the action. Classic Causeway is also intriguing. When you go back to earlier this year, he had a lot of promise. But boy, coming out of the last two races, I'm just not sure what to do with Classic Causeway. Your thoughts in the Ohio Derby?
Well, it's interesting now that you say Brigadier General may scratch, because I originally thought from the two posts he's going to go, and Classic Causeway has to use speed. I mean, his three wins have all come leading from start to finish, regardless of the post, because it is a big run to the first turn. Pineapple Man, one of two for Maker, even though he shares separate ownership with Barisi, I thought he was in the race, maybe. I mean, he's got a shot, but also a New York bred, but to set the pace. So he's still got Classic Causeway and Pineapple Man on the pace. And it's just interesting. The horse is dropping out of the Derby. I say dropping because they are dropping from grade one to grade three. Classic Causeway, Tawny Port, and Waito Barrio. I mean, the winner should be one of those three. But again, I kind of take Classic Causeway out because I think Pineapple Man inside of him is going to go, at least for sure. Barisi could press. And now I look at Waito Barrio and Tawny Port, and I see Ired Ortiz is coming in to ride Tawny Port, and that's kind of the reason I went with him. He did run so well at 9 furlongs in the Jeff Ruby Stakes when he went second. He was only a half a length off the lead before Tis the Bomb drew off, and then he won Lexington. He also finished better than anybody in the Derby, 7th beaten 4. He made a move from 14th, about 11 back to 4 back, with about a quarter to run. And then, of course, he hit the wall, as a lot of them do, for the mile and a quarter. So the cutback's going to help him, too. It's Brad Cox. I think the morning line's generous at 3. I think we're not going to get it. I think him and Waito Barrio will be probably close to 2-1, both of them, particularly if Brigadier General scratches and weighs a price. But I think Tawny Port can stalk one or two of the speedballs and be first to get in front. I don't hate Waito Barrio. I think that last effort in Derby is just yuck. He puts on Lasix, of course. He's got tactical speeds. Works are okay, but I have to try and separate the favorites, so I'm not going to use them both. The other interesting horse is, you mentioned Ethereal Road, that, you know, Lucas scratched him, which is why Rich Strike got in the Derby, and then he ran him instead of the Preakness. He ran him in the Sir Barton. And what's really interesting about Ethereal Road is I look back to starting in January, and his pattern of nickel-based speed figures, he's still improving. He went 88, 90, 90, 94, 100. And usually at this point, the three-year-olds kind of peak, and then they kind of start running good again in the fall into the Breeders' Cup. But he's still improving. And his 100 speed figure is the same as Tawny Port's 100 from the Derby. So he's 4-1 morning line. You might get more value on him. But I think the winner is going to be Tawny Port or Ethereal Road here. But I will use Waito Barrio, and Brigadier General is not going to go. I was going to use him in trifectas. And I'll throw in Barisi then for second and third.
I agree with you on the odds. The 3-1 on Tawny Port and 7-2 on Waito Barrio look kind of generous. I think those two are going to take plenty of action. So it'd be interesting to see how the odds shake out. But it is, as one of these, mid-country derbies at this time of year, they wound up with a nice field. It's a fun field, I think. Race earlier is the Lady Jacqueline. $250,000 up for grabs for the fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth. This also is a very nice field. I think a lot of people are going to tilt towards Army Wife. Crazy Beautiful for Ken McPeak. Had the win two back at Turfway. But that's bookended by a couple of maybe disappointing efforts. And because, none of these, the favorites are necessarily win machines recently, I thought Maracuja might be a little bit interesting. And I pulled up the upset last summer, just about this time, up at Saratoga in the coaching club American Oaks. Maracuja is going to be the number two over the very talented number one Malathot. I'm not sure whether this wasn't a fluky effort, but Maracuja did win two back in a nice optional claimer at Oaklawn. And I thought, again, given the scenario, you look down the page at Maracuja, finished behind Latruska, Clairiere, Malathot, search results. She has faced very classy runners. She might stack up in an interesting fashion in here. But what are your thoughts on the Lady Jacqueline?
Well, first of all, I don't know how many years. I was trying to find out how many years this race has been run, but, I mean, this should be a grade three at least. I mean, it's a quarter million, and it tracks grade one horses.
Yeah.
It tracks, you know, Crazy Beautiful, who won the Grade Two Summertime Oaks last year. Maracuju, who you mentioned, who won the CCA Oaks. Army Wife, who won last year's Black Eyed Susan. This should be a great race.
Yeah.
I think all three of those have a shot, but I got to go for a price as my key, and that's one inside of Maracuju, the 8 Micro Cap. Interesting, I looked, this horse was claimed out of a third or fourth start from Klarovich and Chad Brown, November of 2020. And since then, I mean, she's won four out of, I think, 11 or 12 since. She won a first-level allowance in March of 21 by 5 lengths. She won a second-level allowance at Keeneland last fall. She's never seen a claiming race since then. And her last race at Churchill at 9 furlongs was pretty much her best race ever, in which she had to battle the entire length of the stretch head-and-head and prevailed. Comes back with a 47-flat half-mile work coming into the race. Malcolm Franklin rides. He's an underrated jockey, pretty good, but Grant Forster winning 23% of the year. And this filly's take out her two turf races. She's 5-for-14 on dirt. She's earned close to a quarter million. And her last race figure of 95 is better than Maracuja's win off the layoff in April at the classified allowance at Oaklawn, which was 88. Army Wife's last was 94, went third in the Shawnee, which is the listed stakes. And Crazy Beautiful, when she won the all-weather Latonia, got a 102, but her best last year, like from the Oaks, was 98. So Microcap's 8-1. So she's my win bet and my key here. I'll probably just play her to win and box her top and bottom with the Maracuja, Army Wife, and Crazy Beautiful. I'll play all four in doubles to Tawny Port, and then I'll play Microcap in doubles to Tawny Port, Wide of Barrio, Ethereal Road, probably Barise, and that'll cover some. So I'll have it twice if both the top picks win. But 8-1 is hard to pass up on a horse that comes into the race off of what looks like one of the best races in the field.
Yeah, and I had that race highlighted, and I also have a big circle around the Bullet Work. So I thought Microcap also was a little bit interesting. Fun race, and as you say, with the field, he does deserve a second look from the graded committee in the future. All right, let's move over to Churchill Downs and the Chicago. Another fun race for the ladies. This time they're going to be sprinting 7 furlongs. Field of 7 is scheduled in here. Byerness comes in with a nice string of a couple of wins most recently, but 3 of the last 5. Penny Baker came from Europe and won the United States debut in April. Bells the One has a great record at Churchill Downs. Brad Cox has Lady Rocket. But I've just always liked Sconson, and I had Greg Foley on last year about this time of year, and we talked about this horse, and she was doing well and eventually came up to Saratoga and wound up 4th in the Ballerina. But I thought her race last time, and we're going to take a look at that, the Winning Colors back on May 30th, I thought that set her up nicely for today. So I'm tilting a little bit towards Sconson to go back to back. But as I say, nice competitive field in the Chicago. Where did you go?
Yeah, you know, we complain legitimately about a lot of short fields, like unfortunately the Mother Goose today with 5, and this has 7, but this is a quality group, Seth.
I mean,
really, Lady Rocket, 6-for-13, 580,000. Sconson, 6-for-16, 900,000. Bell's the One, 11-for-24, 1.6 million. 4 Graces, you know, 4-for-13. Baroness, 5-for-11. I mean, this is a group in which you could really only toss out a couple. I did kind of look to draw lines in the favorites to see where I wanted to go. And of the 3 favorites, Bell's the One, Lady Rocket, Sconson. Sconson's the one I'm leaving in for my exact. The Bell's the One, boy, she's good, but her 2 races this year weren't as good as last year. 2nd in the Madison, 4th in the Derby City Distaff. She loves Churchill, but that was kind of a stinker. She is dropping, so she could win. Lady Rocket also a lot, definitely speed, but she faded to 3rd in the Ruffian. She faded to 4th in the Madison. Again, higher graded races, but her, not the same as last year. So, and 4 Graces came on for 2nd in the Derby City Distaff. She can get a piece. Sconson certainly nothing wrong, and she loves Churchill. 5 wins, 2 seconds, and 8 races, coming off winning the Winning Colors, and that got a 105 Equibase speed figure. And I looked at Penny Baker, who you mentioned. So really interesting. Kentucky bred by Medallia d'Oro out of a Tappet mare. ran 10 times in Europe, all on grass or all weather. She reeled off four straight wins by three in the field of 15, by 3.5 in the field of 16, by 7 in the field of 12, and by a length and a half in the field of 10 through December. 4 months off to mature, moved to Mike Sidham's barn, and she crushed a listed stakes field at Laurel easily. I'm just commanded by 7 lengths, and she got a 108. Well, that means she fits here, and she's 8-1, so kind of similar to the 8-1 that I couldn't pass up. I guess it's later also. I'm not this one, 8-1 here. But this 8-1 is just great value for a horse I think could legitimately win. Bayerness, certainly on the streak. 3-4 with Saez, which is great. Also second off a layoff, and she was off, you know, almost 9 months and came back and won by 5 with a 106. And that's exactly what she earned last year. I love it when horses pair their figures, no matter what figure you're using. Her buyers are the same, by the way, too, 92-92. So when a horse pairs off a layoff, they're going to move up the second time off the layoff. And she's 5-1. So I might bet both of those to win. And then I'll play a three-horse Exactabox, Pennybaker, Bayerness, and Sconson. I'm going to try and keep Bells to One, Lady Rocket out of the ticket.
I will say I have the 8-1 on Pennybaker circled because I'm dying to see where the betting public goes, because I think Sconson and Bells to One will appeal to locals because they've done so well locally. Brad Cox has Lady Rocket, and he's going to take action. So, but all of that said, I agree with you. I think Pennybaker is very talented. And if that 8-1 holds, becomes very attractive. But I'm dying to see where the betting public goes with that horse.
Yeah, no, this is going to be a key win bet for me on the day at that price. And the exact box is going to be to save. But, I mean, I could see betting 50 or 100 bucks to win at 8-1 just because it's the fastest horse in the race, second off the layoff, certainly bred to be any kind. And, you know, she's only a four-year-old, too, which has got an edge over these because I think, except for maybe Calypso, she's the only four-year-old in the field.
All right, let's move on to Monmouth and the Goldwood 5.5 furlong turf sprint. This is a nice full field of 12 scheduled in here with some also eligibles. I went 12-2, 5-10. I put Champagne Lady over Honey Pants, but I did pull up a replay of Honey Pants going back to Gulfstream on April 9th. Honey Pants will be the number 3 horse in here. Subsequently ran second in the very one, but I thought Honey Pants was a little bit interesting. As I say, I'm going to play Champagne Lady on top, I think. But to me, these two are pretty similar. And I showed Honey Pants just because people may shy away from Champagne Lady with the outside post position coming out of that little dog leg. So I get that. Honey Pants, on the other hand, has a cozy two post position. So I think people may tend a little more in that direction if they look at the race the way I do. But how did you see the Goldwood?
Well, let me talk about Champagne Lady because it's really interesting. She's never sprinted on turf, and, you know, that's probably why she's 5-1. She certainly, it won't hurt her cutting back, and Paco getting on is great. And I'm using the four horses you mentioned, I'm all using. But my top pick is going to be a whole different animal here at number 6, Bout Time. I just like the fact that her first race was taken off the turf last May, a year ago. And then she took some time off, came back as a four-year-old in January, and then wins by 5, loses by a head, wins by 3. I like this horse's, just her demeanor. She just does nothing wrong, all turf sprints. The numbers are good, 98 Equibase figure last time out. Put in perspective, for example, the favorite in the race who was, Honey Pants is 93-96 last two, and then Baystorm, 102 last year and 97 this year, second, and then a little lower last out. But Bout Time, good. Sherry DeVoe is just a trainer I really like. I watch everything she does, trains well. This filly just sits off the pace and runs good. She's 4-1 like Honey Pants. I think Honey Pants will be bet down because Honey Pants is coming out of stake. But I made the race 6-2, 10-12-5. I'm looking to kind of mess around with exotics, but I'm going to key Honey Pants and Bout Time on top. You know, Honey Pants, again, 3 wins, 6 seconds, so you don't know whether she just kind of doesn't have that spirit, but she just could be beaten by better horses every time. The last was good. They had a blinkers 2 back, and that was the key. You know, similar pattern to to About Time, because as I mentioned, About Time's first start was on dirt, and then she has three turf. Well, anytime since first start of the year was on dirt, all weather, and she ran second, but then her two turf sprints have been just dynamite. And Clement, Joe Bravo's now back east. Spyglass, the 10 at 10 to 1 is hard to ignore, by the way, too, coming off a big win at Laurel. She got the same figure for that classified allowance win at the same trip as About Time, 98. So I think 10 to 1 may be a little bit crazy for her. Four wins, no seconds in her career. She hasn't won back-to-back, but she's making her third start off a layoff, too. I think I like this race so much. That's why it's one of my blog races, which fans can find. I think there's going to be a ton of pace, though. Let me just say, that's why. Because Al Thok has only won on the lead early. Robin Sparkles only wins on the lead. Hey Mama Luke on the 11 on the lead. And then the one AE Stop War, who's the other Lopez, also only on the lead. So it's going to be a sizzling pace. If you can get whoever's going to be third, fourth, fifth early, I think you've got the main contenders for the exotics here.
Yeah, it looks like a fun race. As I say, nice full field. And I'm with you on Cherie DeVoe. I had her on a couple of years ago up at Saratoga. She had just started her career, had her on in the morning, and she just missed, which, as I remember, it was going to be her first career victory, and she just missed that afternoon. And then kind of it took a while for her to get going. But, boy, over the past year and more year plus, she has just been really, really doing a great job. Been fun to kind of watch. I will also note the four races we just talked about. I have the list here. They're part of the Cross Country Pick 5 today. It'll start out with the Mother Goose. It'll move on to the Goldwood, then the Lady Jacqueline, then the Chicago, then the Ohio Derby. So all four of the races we talked about are in this afternoon's cross-country pick five, if folks are interested. Ellis, when I got in touch with you yesterday, I said, let's talk about those stakes races, but we haven't talked to you since the Triple Crown ended. So I said, I'd also like to get your opinion on three-year-olds as we're kind of heading into the summer. And you know, today, Ohio Derby and the Indiana Derby coming up, and, of course, the Haskell, the Jim Dandy, the Travers. We're going to pull up here the Belmont Stakes. Mo Donegal will be the winner. Number six, Mo Donegal, over number three, Nest, who certainly is going to be intriguing getting back to the girls' side of things up at Saratoga. But it's going to be fun watching the boys up at Saratoga as well. And I'd love your opinion, because if I had to say now, I think I'd still put Epicenter on top in this division, despite not having won either the two Triple Crown races he ran in. But I think it's close and interesting, and I think the summer is really going to play out and start to define these horses with early voting coming out of the Preakness victory. We just saw Mo Donegal, the Belmont victory, and a horse like Jack Christopher, who could be any kind, may wind up actually being the best three-year-old. But then there's Zandon, the horses in the Ohio Derby today, Simplification, Taiba, Cyberknife. It's a fascinating three-year-old picture, and I'm just curious your thoughts now that the Triple Crown is concluded, and as we head into summer, where do you see it, and who do you think is kind of sitting on top right now?
Well, you know, anything trained by Chad Brown, because he has the luxury of picking his spots with all these horses. You know, Zandon just ran. Zandon and Epicenter, I can't argue. Epicenter shows up every time. Zandon certainly showed up in the Bluegrass, and he showed up in the Derby as best he could. Certainly no knocks on those. We'll see about the Ohio Derby. As you said, one of these could emerge as a horse to come back in the summer and run good. It depends on how Lucas manages the real road, because he's been so high on this colt, and you know he took didn't decide the Derby, did this herd barred. He's thinking about summer. The other ones are, I mean, not knocking, but Wide Barrio and Tawny Port. You know, they need to prove themselves again in the summer against top company, where the other ones may not, Epicenter and them. And then of course, who knows what's gonna happen with Rich Strike? I mean, I don't, you know. He reminds me of Keen Ice, right? He's still eligible for a non-winners or two other than allowance race. But, you know, he could still do something if they find the right spot for him, even though I tend to wonder whether he's, you know, going to win more than another race or two in his career, because, you know, they got everything they wanted with the Derby win. But it is going to be interesting to see what happens, especially this weekend. I do look forward to it, because we think we have a bunch of horses that have been more lighter raced, as you said, and that are going to be rested for the Jim Dandy and the Travers. And I'm hoping for some, I'm hoping for consistency, and then I'm hoping for upsets, because there's nothing more fun than, you know, especially whatever three-year-olds decide to go in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and having a couple of three-year-olds that really peaked in the late summer and fall would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, last year's three-year-old crop, as they become four-year-olds this year, have really added to the handicap division. So it's going to be fun to see how it plays out, because I think, you know, the ones at the top that we mentioned are certainly have the potential to be very interesting going into the last half of the season. I just pulled up the NTRA poll because I was curious to see where they put Rich Strike in particular. And the NTRA three-year-old poll had Mo Donegal on top, early voting, then Epicenter and Jack Christopher. Rich Strike was tied with Zandon for number – actually, Rich Strike is number six. Zandon's number five. Rich Strike is number six. I'm going to be interested to see where they go with Rich Strike and what they do, because coming out of the Derby, I said he's a complete fluke. And then as we head into the Belmont, I started to kind of go back and forth on that opinion, because he was working well down at Churchill, and it just seemed like maybe he just got good at the right time. That said, I didn't have him in my Belmont mix. And when I handicapped here on the network, I said just that. I said, I can't put him in the mix. I think he's really fluky, and it was just a fluke win in the Derby. But boy, he's coming in good form. Well, my thoughts actually turned out to be right with his performance in the Belmont. But I'm curious to see what he does the remainder of the season and the spots they pick for him the remainder of the season.
Right, and there's, you know, as you mentioned, there's the Indiana Derby, there's the Ohio Derby, there's the Super Derby if they want to take a chance in September, I think, which I'm not sure is on the dirt or turf this year. But, you know, there's a chance to make a lot of money still the rest of the year and find the field. And there's enough three-year-olds, I think, when you split them, this is where it comes into small fields. Maybe you pick your spots, you know, going back. And plus, I think you want to avoid New Jersey and New York, because you got to run into Brown and Fletcher. So they might be better off taking those other shots.
I just wonder, though, if you have a Kentucky Derby winner, and it's like you're, you know, the horse of a lifetime kind of thing, whether they think, eh, let's give the Travers a shot and that kind. I'm with you. I would kind of pick my spots, but
I can guarantee one thing. Wherever he shows up, he's going to be overbet.
Yeah, well, yeah, that there is no question about that. After the Derby, he is certain to take some action and then lead to other horses taking some action as well, as we saw in the Preakness. Ellis, as always, appreciate the visit and the conversation. I'm not sure whether we will get to you or not before we move all our equipment up to the backstretch at Saratoga. If we do, I'll talk to you then. But if we don't, let me just wish you a happy summer. And as I said off the air, I'll say it again here. If you do make a trip up to Saratoga this summer, give us the thumbs up. We'll have you come sit live with us on the backstretch some morning. But if not, again, have a great summer, and we'll talk again.
Thanks so much, and everybody have a great day. It was a pleasure to be on with you, Seth.
Appreciate it. Ellis Starr, and again, you can find his work regularly at Equibase. He's the national racing analyst, and other racetrack websites as well, as he handicaps a number of different venues. So, as I say, the sequence we talked about with Ellis, all four of those races will be in the cross-country pick five today. Let me reiterate, the cross-country pick five will start with the Mother Goose. It'll go to that Goldwood at Monmouth, then the Lady Jacqueline at Thistledown, the Chicago at Churchill, and it wraps up with the Ohio Derby at Thistledown. So the four horses we talked about, four races we talked about with Ellis, are all part of that cross-country pick five today. So keep that in mind. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we'll have a little more Ohio Derby conversation, because that's probably the highlight of this afternoon. So stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku, try it now.
Birdstone is an outside.
Here comes High Jump. there is a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there are a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As I said before the break, a little more Ohio Derby conversation. We'll be joined by John Piasek, and I saw he was writing about the Ohio Derby on America's Best Racing, the ABR website, and then he had a couple other races that he was doing a little handicapping for on the undercard as well. So I thought, let's get some ideas. John, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Great to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. And as I say, I saw your stuff on America's Best Racing, so I'll tell people to go over, take a look at that. You have done the writing on this weekend's races, but you normally have some handicapping looks at races around the country, so check that out. And I also saw in the bio that you do some writing for our friend Frank Vespi and the Racing Biz website. Talk a little bit about what you do for the various websites.
Yeah, so on the Racing Biz, I am the Daily Lore Poker Handicapper. I cover lore every day. You can pick up on the lore feed under the racingbiz.com. And I also do a once-weekly column called the Mid-Atlantic Three Stars, in which I recap the racing action at each Mid-Atlantic track every week, and I talk about the best horses, jockeys, and trainers of the week. So if you want to know what happened at Lowell, Monmouth, Delaware, Polk, Charlestown, my column is a place to go.
Yeah, and I keep telling people that Frank's website, theracingbiz.com, is the place to go that, you know, to follow racing in the Mid-Atlantic region. He does a great job. Also, reading your bio, you've worked at various racetracks around the country. Talk a little bit about what you've done at the various venues.
Yeah, I've been all over the place. I've worked for Freehold Raceway for 4 years. I've been working in the race office and doing press and social media. I've also filled in as track announcer a few times. I worked at Saratoga for 2 summers. I worked at the Betts squad in the summers of 2017 and 2018. In 2017, I was a member of the team, and in 2018, I helped run the program. Did a similar program at Monmouth Park for 2 years. I did lots of writing for Dan Torchman's website, anonymousracing.com, and I helped run that for about 2 years. So I guess for the past like 7 years, I've been doing some combination of race writing, race handicapping, just a whole bunch of stuff. I've gotten feet wet in a lot of different avenues.
Talk a little bit about that, because I think those are great programs that some of the tracks that like Saratoga attract big crowds, and, you know, a place like Keeneland or Del Mar, a bet squad type of a situation. What are you providing to bettors? And talk about your experience getting the back and forth with folks who are maybe new to the sport. And does that give you any insight into how the racing game may better serve those type of people?
Well, I think Saratoga is an especially helpful program because it's a lot of tourists, many of whom are just there because it's a destination. They don't necessarily know about racing, but it's here for the experience. But I know, just like in my own experience and with a lot of people I talk to, generally racing fans are made by going to the track. If they have a good experience on track, generally it leads them watching and wagering both on track and online. And now, I mean, I grew up going to the track. Like, I knew how to read a program by the time I was like 5. So it wasn't really my experience. But I do know and I understand that going to the track for the first time, there's so much information that it can be pretty intimidating. And if somebody's been kind of the best, too, you don't always know, like, what exactly an exacta means or double means or like, what's the difference between a pick three or a trifecta. So most of the people had questions about how to read the program, and I was happy to help them out with that. As time went on, I kind of developed my own, like, three-minute, like, canned spiel that I would give out. And I thought it was very popular. People really liked us. On big days, we'd have good crowds. And if I gave my winners, all the better.
Absolutely, because that's what it's all about. But like I say, I think that's a great idea because, yeah, as people who have been around the game for a while, we just kind of take it for granted. And I'm reminded virtually every summer up at Saratoga, there is some point during the meet where I'll sit down in the grandstand with some friends or some family, and you realize, oh, this is all Greek to them. I have to kind of start from step one and take them through and help them learn a little bit. And hopefully by the end of the day, they can read the program a little bit, maybe pick their own winners, which is completely thrilling for people and kind of hooks them into the game. And just, again, before we move on to the Ohio Derby, where did you call races?
I've called at Freehold at this point maybe like 12 times. I filled in at Tioga Downs up in Binghamton a few times. I got to call one race at Monmouth Park when I was like 18. I got to announce it for a day, and that was really cool because I grew up going there. I grew up listening to Larry Colmus. Getting a call there was amazing. And I also have been calling the qualifying races at Gateway Farms. On the harness side, they have a bunch of baby races at Gateway Farms in Manalapan, New Jersey, in the month of June, and I've been calling those races over the past few weeks.
Yeah, nice. I always prefer when I talk to race callers. It was a few years ago. I'm pretty sure it was down in Maryland. They had like a media. They used to do it every year. They haven't done it for a while, but they would post the calls up on the internet. And they would bring in local, like, radio DJs or the TV sports guy. And so there would be 8 or 9 of them during the day, and they'd each get to call one race. And it was, you could see that the night before, they had totally studied their race. And for about the first 100 or 200 yards, they would nail it. But then all of it would fall completely apart. And they were very entertaining, and I think demonstrated how tough a job it is.
Yep, like at the start, like, oh, and there's so-and-so on the lead, and then, I don't know. But no, it really does show how tough it is. I mean, I kind of assimilated into it because when I was, like, really young, I would race, like, magic markers on my bedroom floor, and I would pretend that they were horses. And if you're racing magic markers, you know, naturally, you have to have the race call. So I would just imitate, like, what I heard from Tom Durkin and Larry Colmus and guys like that. And then over time, I graduated to calling actual races, and so it just come really naturally to me. I think the only sport that really compares to calling a horse race as far as, like, the speed is hockey.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And then speaking of speed, the folks calling the quarter horse races, I really don't envy them. Although it's over pretty quick, but you kind of have to get at least 2 or 3 calls in that time. That to me, you're really on top of it. But all right, let's jump in and talk a little bit about, and again, you've written about it on the America's Best Racing website, tell people to go over there and they can check out your work regularly there. But you looked at the Ohio Derby and a couple of the undercard stakes, and let's start with the Ohio Derby and get your thoughts. We had Ellis Starr on earlier, and we were talking Ohio Derby with him, and I said when I talked to Ellis, and we looked at the Lexington, and I said, looking at social media, Tawny Port is going to take a lot of action, clearly. I kind of like White Abaria. We were down covering the Florida Derby live this year, and that performance just looked really good to me, and I'm going to kind of subsequently draw a line through the Derby and look for a rebound. We're going to take a look now at the replay of the Florida Derby while we talk. Number 7, White Abaria, will be the winner, and as I say, I thought he looked good. I'm going to look for him to rebound. The word out of Ohio is the Brigadier General will scratch and go to the Indiana Derby subsequently. But I also thought Ethereal Road was interesting. Barisi on the inside this afternoon. Classic Causeway, boy, he looked so good earlier this year, but the last couple make it a little tough for me. But what are your thoughts in the Ohio Derby?
Well, first of all, I think this is a great field. I think Thistle Dan did a great job putting this race together. I mean, you got a Florida Derby winner, Tampa Bay Derby winner, Lexington winner, Sir Barton winner. I mean, I think 5 out of the 7 horses in here have won a stakes race this year. So, great job. It's great to see a track like Thistledown, which isn't always in the spotlight, put together such a nice field. I really like the Stewie Road in here. I think Whitebriar has a shot, but Morning Line, with notwithstanding, I think he's going to be a pretty solid favorite, and I don't know if I can take that low of a price on him. And I think Ethereal Road kind of demonstrates the other side of a handicapping angle people don't always talk about, and that's track bias. Because on Preakness Day, people noticed, correctly I think, that there was a speed bias on the track. Like, horses would get to the front, they would set fast fractions, and they would not slow down. And Ethereal Road was really the only horse that day who came from well off the pace and won. In fact, I remember hanging out that day, and I was thinking to myself, I think Ethereal Road is the best horse in the race as far as ability goes, but, you know, he's a closer. I don't think he's going to do much. And then he just swooped the field and won by almost 5 lengths. It was a very impressive performance. You know, people always talk about track biases on the day of, like, oh, I got to adjust my handicapping to account for this bias. But they don't always keep the bias in mind going forward and be like, oh, I'm going to upgrade this horse, I'm going to downgrade this horse because they race on a biased track. And I think Ethereal Road has to be upgraded because of the track he raced on. He also showed a lot of promise earlier in the year. I recall he made a lot of waves breaking his maiden at Oaklawn Park. He came from dead last, a win by 4 lengths going away. And then he ran a gutsy race in the Rebel. He made a big move, just missed, lost by only half a length, but it was still a pretty promising effort. Kind of struggled at Keeneland in his next two, bounced back big time. I know he had that quarter crack for the Belmont, so he couldn't run in that. But he did have a very strong workout at Churchill Downs. I think 2 days after the Belmont, he went 5 furlongs in 1:03. Fastest time that day. I think he's ready to turn in a big race.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the bias angle, because you're right. As the day went along and you looked on Twitter or whatnot, or heard people talking about it, people noted that Ethereal Road went against the bias and was kind of the only one on the card. So that is certainly worth noting there. And I think he's interesting as well. I agree with you. To me, the betting public is going to go with Whitebriar and or Tawny Port, and I think both of them are probably generous on the morning line at 7-2 and 3-1. I think they're both going to take a little more action than that. So, yeah, with the value, Ethereal Road could be a little bit intriguing in the Ohio Derby. Let's go a little bit earlier on the card. We'll take a look now at race number 8, which is the Cleveland, and mile and an eighth. Purse is $75,000. These are Ohio breds. And again, you wrote about a couple of races, including this one on America's Best Racing. I pulled up a replay here going back to Belterra, and we're going to look at a couple of horses that are scheduled to run on Saturday. The winner in this race will be number 3, Country Club Bobby. Number 11, Rumble Strip Ron runs second. They're both in here. They are both very intriguing. Rumble Strip Ron has Sonny Leone on top, so that's going to be intriguing for folks as well. But what are your thoughts in the Cleveland?
I mean, this race is basically a rematch of that race at Belterra. Yeah, 7 out of the 8 horses in this race, last race in the green carpet. So it's really a matter of who you think ran the best race that day. It's probably going to win this one. And I think that comes down to a top 2 finishers in that race, Country Club Bobby and Rumble Strip Ron. I picked Rumble Strip Ron in my Piastix Plays column because he had to really race out of his element that day. I mean, usually he's on or near the pace. He had a bit of an awkward start that day. He fell very far off the lead. According to the running lines, he was about 15 lengths out of it at the opening quarter. But he really closed well. He bowed on in the stretch, lost by a neck, had a very good speed and late pace figure, but it's very encouraging, especially because he didn't have a lot of two-turn experience going in. He did come in second around 2 turns in the Best of Ohio Juvenile last year, but this was his first 2-turn start in about 8 months or so. He ran a big race, and I think he should run another big one today. And I also noted that Sonny Leone had been running Country Club Bobby for most of the year. He jumped off of him to ride Rumble Strip Ron in the green carpet, and he keeps the mount here. Country Club Bobby also ran a big race, though. Because that pace in the green carpet was very destructive. The top four horses were 1, 2, 3, 4 at the opening quarter. They ended up 7th by 13 and a quarter lengths, 13th by 40 and a half lengths, 5th by 9 and a half lengths, and 10th by 21 and three quarter lengths. So really anyone who was near the pace that day was up against it. Country Club Bobby was close to the pace, and he still showed a lot of heart late and hung on. It was his first win around two turns. He did decline a bit from his usual speed and pace figures. This, just to me, maybe two turns isn't what he wants. I think he's better off going one turn. And especially with the extra 16th of a mile compared to the green carpet, this is a mile and an eighth. Who knows how he'll do. But based off that last trade, I think he merits respect. However, based on Roland's closing rally last time, I'm going to give a slight nod to him.
All right, sounds interesting. And also, you took a look at the seventh race on the card, which is an allowance event. Gave some handicapping ideas there. And looking at your thoughts, I pulled up a replay going back to Woodland Walk, the number six horse in an allowance event at Thistle on May 30th. Woodland Walk here is going to be the number six horse. Won that day. Did it with a number that has a good look versus this bunch. There are solid numbers down the page as well. I thought the number one horse, Amalek, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, coming off of a win last time, was interesting in here as well. Kadri, the number five, I thought was very playable. But give us your thoughts in the seventh at Thistledown.
I mean, first of all, it's a very fun race too. A lot of hard-knocking sprinters, really, really, really the kind of horses that I think racing's all about, especially Woodland Walk, who's 11. He's won 17 times. He's 11 for 24 at Thistledown. Definitely a lovable horse. And he was very well in his last start. It was his first start off a long layoff. He came from just off the pace. He beat, I think, a tougher field than he'll see today. He won going away, and he earned a speed figure that is right there with his usual form. So he went first off the layoff, sprung right back, didn't need any time off the bench. And he has a lot of early speed and a lot of good early pace figures. There's a horse drawn to his inside, I Sir, who could be near the pace, but he's chief speed. I think he'll show speed and fade, and Woodland Walk should be able to easily overcome him. Ahimelech is pretty interesting. That's the one horse. Last time out, his entry mate, More Than Good, who's also back in here, he kind of set the table for him. Ahimelech stalked the pace, drew off to win by 3 and a half lengths in an open allowance race, which around these parts is really, I guess, borderline stakes quality. Ran a very good speed figure. He has good tactical speed. He's going third off the layoff, and I think he's going to set a good trip. And if the pace setters end up falling apart, Ahimelech is going to be right there to take advantage. When I mentioned Kadri, he's definitely taken a drop in class, but he did sit a very good trip in his last start, the Work All Week Stakes at Hawthorne, and he just had nothing left in the tank. He was in good form before that, but based on that last start, without a visible excuse, I'm a bit suspicious.
Yeah, and I agree with you completely when you look at Woodland Walk, 11 years old, and has hit the exact 30 of 42 starts. Those are the kind of horses we like to admire. So, again, that's a little undercard race that'll be fun to look at this afternoon at Thistledown. John, we appreciate the visit and the thoughts. It's going to be a fun afternoon with the Ohio Derby. We were talking three-year-olds earlier with Ellis, and I think the summer is shaping up to be a lot of fun for the three-year-olds. And as you say, this is a nice field in the Ohio Derby. And we have the races, you know, the Haskell and the Jim Dandy and the Travers coming up. And these three-year-olds haven't sorted themselves out yet. So we'll get a good feel of that maybe a little bit today and certainly as the summer progresses. And, John, we'll check in with you again and maybe do a little Laurel handicapping some Saturday on one of their big stakes days. Unfortunately, that'll have to wait because we're headed up to Saratoga where we go live from the backstretch every morning, and that'll start in a couple of weeks. But I will invite you. You say you worked at Saratoga a couple of summers. If you're headed up there this summer at all, by all means, give me a thumbs up, and we'll have you come over and sit in with us some morning, do a little handicapping live up there.
I would love to, Seth. I'll let you know. I'd definitely like to make it up there at some point this summer.
Definitely. As I say, give us a thumbs up if you do. If not, we'll check back in, as I say, when we get back into the studio after the Saratoga meet, and maybe we'll check in with a little Laurel handicapping as well. But I appreciate the thoughts this morning. And again, I'll advise people to check out your work, America's Best Racing website or theracingbiz.com. And John, we'll talk again.
Sounds good, Seth. Have a good one.
Very good. Again, a little Ohio Derby conversation for today. The Ohio Derby is scheduled to go off at our time of 5:35 is the Ohio Derby today. And as I say, some of the races we talked about this morning play into that cross-country pick five, which, again, let me give you the sequence. The cross-country pick five will start with the Mother Goose. It will move on to the Goldwood at Monmouth, then the Lady Jacqueline at Thistledown, the Chicago at Churchill, and the Ohio Derby at Thistledown. So a nice little sequence. Kind of a fun, interesting sequence because Thistledown isn't plugging into the cross-country too often, but I think you have two nice races to do that with this afternoon. So keep that in mind. We will, of course, be taking a look at a lot of this action live this afternoon on OTB Live on a Saturday afternoon. I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so. We usually kick off at about 12:30. As soon as the NIRA pregame wraps up, we'll kind of jump in. And today I'll be looking at a little Belmont, a little Monmouth, a little Churchill Downs for a Saturday afternoon. So it should be fun. Let me remind you that the Exacta Board contest will run here today at the Clubhouse Racebook. Put your name on a square. If your numbers match an Exacta during the afternoon, you could wind up with a food voucher. So maybe a little free lunch. Come on down, play the horses, enjoy the company, and maybe some free food as well. Exacta Board promotion here today at the Clubhouse Racebook. And tomorrow we have some promotions as well, the Knockout Challenge and the Match Bet. Again, all of that this weekend at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. And I got a couple of texts, and there were some emails. We were supposed to have a pick three bankroll on Thursday and got some questions about that. It was just unforeseen circumstances kind of late in the game plan prevented us from running the pick three bankroll promotion this past Thursday. So apologies there if you signed in, you know, you tried to get on the team and then didn't hear any results on that. We just, as I say, there was just some issues that prevented us from doing it this past week. So again, apologies, but we do have nice promotions coming up in the future. Saratoga will have some nice promotions as well. But as I say, a couple of fun promotions right there at the Clubhouse Racebook this weekend starting today, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm Seth Barrow. This has been Racing Across America for a Saturday morning. We appreciate your tuning in as always. Hopefully we also gave you some good information on the handicapper support a little bit earlier. And we will try to continue giving you good advice on OTB Live on a Saturday afternoon, which will kick off, as I say, about 12:30 or so. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.